Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. Before the Babylonian invasion of Israel in 600 BC, during the days of Israel's immorality and religious apostasy, the prophet Jeremiah wrote about the lies that prevailed in the land. And I've addressed this many times in past programs. And among the many texts that describe this phenomenon, Jeremiah chapter 9 is the predominant text. Let me read this so you can get a sense of Jeremiah's concern. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 3. They bend their tongue like their bow. Lies, not truth, prevail in the land. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Let everyone be on guard against his neighbor, and do not trust any brother, because every brother deals craftily, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor and does not speak the truth. They have taught their tongues to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. Your dwelling is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, declares the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Behold, I will refine them and assay them. For what else can I do because of the daughters of my people? Their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceit. With his mouth, one speaks peace to his neighbor, but inwardly he sets an ambush for him. Shall I not punish them for these things, declares the Lord? On a nation such as this, shall I not avenge myself? So notice in the text the continual reference to the sin described in the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. Verse 3, lies, not truth, prevail in the land, meaning that lies are more popular and prevalent than the truth. Verse 4, every brother deals craftily. Verse 5, everyone deceives his neighbor and doesn't speak the truth. They have educated themselves to speak lies. They have developed sophisticated excuses for lying. Verse 6, their dwelling place is deceit. Verse 8, their tongues speak deceit. Did you ever wonder what that must have looked like? Were these typical business lies, the padding of resumes, personal boasting, signing contracts and not fulfilling them? Were these lies concerning adulterous affairs? Those lies were certainly in the mix. But given the overall emphasis in the book of Jeremiah, I've always considered Jeremiah's concern to be ideological lies. That Baal worship is just as valid as Jehovah worship. That we're a good people and God approves of our sin. And that the future will be prosperity and blessing, not judgment. As in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 12, they have lied about the Lord and said, not he, misfortune will not come upon us, and we will not see sword or famine. Jeremiah chapter 23 also gives us some insight into what Jeremiah was referring to. Jeremiah said about the prophets in his day, which would be our modern day pundits, that they walk in falsehood, verse 14, and they strengthen the hands of evildoers. So these lies were justifying immorality, greed, abortion, homosexuality. Verse 14, all of them have become to me like Sodom and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. Verse 16, these social leaders were leading the people into futility, empty, vacuous ideology. Verse 17, they're saying to those who violate God's law, all is going to be well. Calamity will not come upon you. In other words, the breaking of God's law doesn't have any negative consequences. Verse 26, they prophesy the deception of their own heart. Like Jesus said in John chapter 7, they speak from themselves. Here's a question. Are you able to discern the ideological lies in our day? I mean, anyone can call their opponent's position fake news. But there is an objective standard, the moral law of God. The lies in our culture today are religious and philosophical, but they're mostly political in nature because politics is simply the social practice of our cultural beliefs, whether they be true or false. In ancient Israel, Jeremiah was addressing many geopolitical lies. The lie that Babylon would not invade the country and that the country wouldn't collapse. And today, just like in ancient Israel, in her apostasy, lies prevail in our land, but are we able to discern them? You know, the vast majority of people are duped by the media, by the humanism taught in universities. My 7-year-old grandson has no idea what's going on in the world. He probably doesn't even know what the word ideology means. You know, just the other day, I was thinking how much he needs to learn in the next 10 years. But there are people who are 40, 50, 60 years old who still have never learned. Now, we who are Christians ought no longer to be children, but grow up into all things, into Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 4. Or Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment. Last week, there was the vice presidential debate, J.D. Vance versus Tim Walz. And the whole debate was one lie after another. Even the questions framed by the moderators were lies. And even J.D. Vance, the conservative, didn't tell the truth about many of the issues the moderators brought up concerning abortion, concerning inflation, concerning immigration, concerning child care. J.D. Vance was not about to explain that abortion is the murder of an innocent life. It's not women's health care. And he wasn't about to explain that inflation is due to the government spending 30% more than it receives in taxes. And the only solution to inflation is to cut the size of government, cut government employees, government entitlements. And J.D. Vance was not willing to explain that the Democrats are deliberately opening the border to turn Republican red states into Democrat blue states. And the Biden border bill was a Democrat ploy so that Democrats could say they had a border bill that the Republicans turned down. It wasn't a bill to close the border. It was clearly a bill to hire more Border Patrol agents to process and facilitate more illegal immigration. And Vance was not willing to say, we don't have a child care crisis. We have a divorce and a single parent crisis. The whole time, J.D. Vance was being a politician, carefully selecting his words so as to not upset any segment of the voting public. And this was certainly the strategy. The goal was to give the impression that Vance was not weird, but a thoughtful, nice guy. But if you tell the truth, the media is going to grab onto your words, paint you as an extremist, a hate monger, conspiracy theorist. George Orwell once wrote, "Truth is treason in the empire of lies." And he also said it this way, "In a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act." And he was referring to the Soviet Union in his day, where to tell the truth about the corruption in the communist government would land you in the gulag because the people wanted to believe the lie. They wanted to believe the lie that the godless political system was the truth, and the elite leaders and their followers wanted their ideology to be confirmed and reinforced. It's the lies that they wanted to hear. And there are many lies today that the American public wants to hear. And if you tell the truth, you will be canceled. Most of the voting public despises any social leader who is willing to be the disciplined parent. They want their civic leaders to be permissive parents who gives them everything they want and tells them what they want to hear, even though the country's going bankrupt. Both parties are doing this, both Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. The Wall Street Journal had a legitimate article on this entitled, "Harris and Trump's Proposals Add to the Soaring Federal Deficit." Trump is trying to entice voters by proposing no federal income tax on Social Security benefits, no tax on overtime pay, no tax on tips in the hospitality industry, and a further drop in corporate income tax. Harris is trying to entice voters with giving people $25,000 to buy their first home, and a $6,000 a year credit for families to pay for childcare. Not a tax deduction, but a check for $6,000. And she wants to force companies to give extended pay and leave when employees have children. And like Biden, she wants to forgive student loans, which is welfare for leftist university professors. Both parties will add an additional $5 trillion to the national debt in their upcoming terms. And neither party is actually talking about balancing the federal budget so the government doesn't continue to print money and drive up inflation. Both appeal to different constituencies, but it's the same lie, that we can maintain the same size of government and increase government entitlements and tax breaks, and all will be well. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 12, not us, misfortune and famine will not come upon us. And this is how third world countries pay for the government salaries of the elite. Since collecting taxes is unpopular and difficult, bureaucrats in many countries simply print money to fund their salaries. Inflation becomes an intrinsic tax on the people. So now the U.S. government is doing this. Raising taxes is unpopular, and Congress found that simply raising the deficit and printing money can fund those extra government programs and jobs that everyone wants. Did you see the news that in September there was another increase in the debt ceiling to fund the government until the end of the year? You probably didn't hear about it because the media hardly covered it. The debt is no longer a big deal for the American people. You know, at first, Republicans said that they would only raise the debt ceiling if Democrats would agree to an election integrity bill. The Democrats refused. And so the Republicans quickly backed away from that ultimatum because the Republicans know that if the government shuts down, voters will be angry at the Republicans and they would lose in November. So no one's willing to do anything about the debt because they want to win elections and give the public the money and the entitlements they want. Remember the statesman Alexander Tyler, who said almost 200 years ago that a democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote for themselves largesse from the public treasury. This Wall Street Journal article went on to explain pretty much what we all know, that politicians can't talk about fiscal discipline and expect to get elected. Quote, no president in history gets a prize for reining in spending, the deficit, or the debt. Congressman Arrington of Texas said, nobody gets the Golden Meat Cleaver Award. Why? Because lies, not truth, prevail in the land. People don't want the truth because they're greedy. The public is greedy. The politicians are greedy. The bureaucrats are greedy because they want the power that comes with more money to hand out to people, because that's the only thing bureaucrats do, hand out money to people that justifies their existence, the redistribution of wealth. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13. For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. Notice the connection between greed and dealing falsely. The lies are necessary to maintain the greed. Now, one would imagine that when J.D. Vance was asked about the economy and inflation, he would have explained some of this, the need to cut government, but there are 30 million people working for government, and he was not about to scare off those voters. In the debate, Walz again tried to pin Project 2025 on Vance and Trump. But Project 2025, which the Republicans are running away from, is actually the truth. Government departments need to be eliminated. But knowing that voters will not stand for that truth, Republicans are distancing themselves from Project 2025. Project 2025, put out by the Heritage Foundation, would really solve the financial crisis. The proposal to eliminate the Department of Education is actually what must be done. 5,000 bureaucrats in the Department of Education who serve no purpose whatsoever. The department was created in 1979 under Jimmy Carter, and we put a man on the moon, we invented computers, we have all the things of our modern world, even before the Department of Education ever came along. This week, we also saw the uselessness of FEMA in the recent hurricane response. FEMA hires 20,000 well-paid government employees to do what? Mostly paperwork to give out federal assistance. Americans would be better off financially if we just save the salary of those 20,000 bureaucrats and let the states and the neighbors take care of disasters. You say, but what about boots on the ground to rescue people? There are 445,000 people employed by the National Guard. The Guard could easily take care of boots on the ground and do the work that FEMA does occasionally, and probably do it better. But politicians are not going to cut government. It's unpopular in the minds of most people. You know, people think in terms of the government needs to do everything. Remember, Ronald Reagan once said, the closest thing to eternal life on earth is a government program. Now, some might say Vance didn't have the time to explain the truth, but no, it's pretty evident by his answers that he was walking on eggshells, trying not to offend any group, trying to simply leave the debate with a positive image. Now, rather than traditionally, the vice president is to play the role of bad cop and say the hard things that the president cannot, but now even the vice president cannot or will not tell the truth. Because in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. But if the politicians won't tell the truth and the media won't tell the truth because they want to sell papers and ad time, then who's going to tell the truth? Well, it's left up to the churches, the pastors. But who attends church these days? And even as Jeremiah wrote, the prophet, even the priest, everyone is greedy for gain. You know, most churches have accommodated to whatever is popular in the culture. And even many evangelical churches never touch on controversial subjects because they want to keep people coming. You know, just like politicians want to keep people voting for them by not revealing the whole truth. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own authority. And my people love it so, but what will you do in the end of it? In Isaiah chapter 30, they say to the seers, you must not see visions. And to the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what's right. Speak to us pleasant words. Prophesy illusions. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. But for our nation to be saved, our civil and our social leaders need to start telling the truth. And the first social leader who starts telling the truth will take the heat for it. For example, look at what's happening to Tommy Robinson in the UK for telling the truth about Muslim immigration. The government is out to destroy him because they want to believe the lie of pluralism, that all religions are the same. The one who tells the truth will be canceled by the culture. But it's the only way to move the Overton window and normalize the truth. For example, the first politician who returns to the anti-abortion language we used to have in this country 25 years ago, that abortion is the murder of an innocent life, that politician will enrage the public. Imagine if J.D. Vance said that in the debate. Any politician who tells the truth about abortion will not get elected because the pro-aborts now make up more than 50% of the public. But in the long term, the politician who tells the truth is the one who's going to change the culture for good. And I believe that's the point Solomon was making in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 15. But there was found in it, the city, a poor wise man, and he delivered the city by his wisdom. Yet no one remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength, but the wisdom of the poor man is despised, and his words are not heeded. Yet the words of the wise heard in quietness are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Notice that the wise man is described as being poor. The people don't fund him. And he's despised. Why? Wisdom is another word for truth. He tells the truth. And it's only the truth that delivers the city. But rather than wisdom, the truth, what we're hearing today is a lot of shouting of rulers among a very, very foolish electorate. In the debate, J.D. Vance was asked about changing his previous position on having a national 15-week ban on abortion. Vance said that in the state of Ohio, we had an abortion referendum, and the people of Ohio voted overwhelmingly against my position. And what I learned from that is that we got to do a better job at winning back people's trust. So many young women see an unplanned pregnancy as something that's going to destroy their livelihood, destroy their education, destroy their relationships, and we have to earn people's trust back. And that's why Donald Trump and I are committed to pursue pro-family policies, making childcare more accessible, making fertility treatments more accessible, because we got to do a better job at that. And that's what real leadership is, unquote. Vance's answer was that of a weasel politician. He could have simply said that he believes abortion is a moral evil and we have to take steps to gradually make it culturally unacceptable. But instead, he changed his position because of the popular vote. You know, I'm glad Abraham Lincoln didn't do this when it came to abolishing slavery. But notice Vance also interjected a comment about informing the public. He understands that conservatives are not doing a very good job educating the public concerning the evils of infanticide. He understands that we need to change the culture before we can pass certain laws. Vance was, in effect, saying that conservatives need to earn people's trust back concerning pro-life. But my contention is that the way to do that is for conservative politicians like J.D. Vance to be moral teachers in this regard, where the politician conveys the shock and the horror and the offense of taking an innocent life. That changes public perception. It moves the Overton window of acceptable ideas. The Democrats use that strategy. They express fake outrage over the pro-life position. Conservatives need to be just as passionate about the truth. Now, by the way, concerning the truth about abortion, our illegal immigration problem is an abortion problem. We would not have illegal immigration in America had we not killed 50 million of our own children. Abortion was a federal crime in Mexico until 2021. Therefore, the majority of the Mexican population is under 30 years of age. I had an economic professor back in college who predicted that Mexico would overrun the United States someday because this is what always happens. Nations of young people always invade nations of elderly, nations that are not growing. The same thing is happening in Europe. The Muslim nations surrounding Europe are having children, while Europeans believe the lie of overpopulation. The Muslim birth rate is 4.3%. The European rate is 1.4. Our illegal immigration problem is due to abortion. But no one will tell the truth about that. The debate moderator also asked about the child care crisis in our country. Anytime politicians or special interest groups want money, they call their issue a crisis. The very premise of the moderator's question was wrong. But woe be to the politician who doesn't agree, but instead says, there's no childcare crisis. There's a crisis in women having babies without being married. There's a crisis in men not supporting their children. There's a crisis of women deciding to go to work rather than dedicating themselves to the work of raising children. And there's a crisis in women having to go out to work and support the family because the government is drawing so much money away from families through sales tax and property tax and income tax. It used to be that a father could support an entire family on his one income. But now it takes two incomes, and realize that this is due to the size of government. This is a crisis that the government itself has created, and yet they'll blame the crisis on a lack of government assistance. But again, woe be to the politician who tells the truth, who correctly defines the crisis. Not only is the premise of the crisis wrong, but the solution is going unchallenged. Harris proposes that the federal government gives $6,000 to families to pay for childcare. There are 19 million children under 6 years of age in America. Do the math. There's no way the government can pay to raise everyone's children for them. And what about those mothers who decide to make the sacrifice and stay at home to raise their own children? Shouldn't they also be given $6,000? Most Democrats would agree and say, yes, give them $6,000 too. Because they believe we need to pool all of our money together to do everything. And the government's job is to redistribute money. As Tim Walz had said, socialism is just being neighborly. Now, in Vance's answer, there is really no pushback against his underlying false communist ideology. Vance did not challenge the premise, but simply said this is a bipartisan issue that we all care about, that Republicans also support child care programs, but they want to make them broader so they can include more options for families. And President Trump is for a $5,000 child tax credit. It was a safe answer. He wasn't going to be the bad guy who says, are you crazy? Since when should the government be paying people to watch your children? Because the American people have completely bought into the lie of socialism, that individual cost and responsibility need to be borne by everyone. Today, if you speak about individual responsibility, you're considered cruel. Remember, leftists are the permissive parents who give the children whatever they want. Conservatives are the disciplined parents who give people only what they should have. But guess who an unprincipled population will vote for? The permissive parent, the permissive politician, even if it bankrupts the country. Compassion today is simply a love for lawlessness and a supporting people in their irresponsibility. To take the consequences away from what you sow, you shall reap. But again, my original premise, someone needs to start telling the public the truth. Then in the debate, there were all of these lies concerning the war in Israel. At least Vance was able to point out that the Biden administration funded the war by removing economic sanctions on Iran. And Iran sends money to support Hamas. But what was not said, and what is never said, is the truth that the UN and the United States has kept the conflict in Israel going for the last 50 years. If it weren't for outside countries funding the Palestinian government, the Palestinians and their leaders would have dissolved into the regular Middle East population ages ago. Western nations are paying for Palestinians to run an alternative government in Israel. In the debate, the moderator also espoused the global warming myth And Vance said nothing to challenge the premise, but instead simply said, if we want a better environment, we need to bring jobs back to the United States. Quote from the moderator. Let's now turn to Hurricane Helene. The storm could become one of the deadliest on record. More than 160 people are dead and hundreds more are missing. Scientists say climate change makes these hurricanes larger, stronger, and more deadly. Really? Which scientists? And the moderator concluded that segment by interjecting what she considered a fact check, quote, the overwhelming consensus among scientists is that the Earth's climate is warming at an unprecedented rate. That is a lie. But if we lived in a world where truth prevailed, Vance would have cited the report where over 5,000 scientists have signed a document claiming that the man-made CO2 climate change crisis is a myth. And Vance could have cited many reports showing that there has actually been a decrease in adverse weather conditions over the last 20 years. He could have also cited all of the failed predictions. Back in 2009, Al Gore said we only have 5 years left until the polar ice caps melt. Never happened, and they're doing just fine. In 2006, Al Gore claimed that unless world leaders take drastic measures to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, in 10 years, the Earth would surpass the point of no return. But since then, all is fine. The increase in global temperatures has ceased. Climate change is not an existential threat. And everyone is coming to realize that there's a lot of urban myth and hype around the political climate change narrative. And the truth is that climate change funding has become a way to create a slush fund for Democrat ideologues and for people living off the government. It's a corrupt waste of taxpayer money, and more people are discovering the truth. But could J.D. Vance say that? Or would that be political suicide? But nevertheless, I believe truth is always the best argument. The public needs to hear the truth. It moves the public. It disarms and embarrasses the opponent. It changes the whole discussion about climate change or any other issue. It puts it in the right ballpark. But if conservatives play into the same narrative as that of the left, If conservatives agree with the premises of the left to win voters or to look mainstream, it always backfires. One thing we have learned from the Gospels, that Jesus Christ never gave way to cultural lies. In fact, when challenged, he doubled down on pointing out the hypocrisy and the corruption of the rulers. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 26. Like a trampled spring and a polluted well, is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. You know, in this political season, we're seeing a lot of trampled springs and polluted wells because the people love the lie and the politicians want their votes. You know, my prayer is that at least God's people, the church, can identify and discern the lies that are pervading the nation. And that will actually advance the Christian testimony. That Christians are not duped by every social, political, religious lie that comes down the pike. Thanks for listening. Stay in the Word of God so you can keep your head straight in these very deceptive days. And may Jesus Christ reign.